In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from John, the 20th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a metaphor, but picture it literally with me, just for a second. Perhaps at some time in your life, maybe as a child, you built a house of cards. It's fun. It's a great challenge to see how high you can make it. First, you build the bottom layer, the foundation, and the strength of each succeeding layer only adds to the strength of the overall structure. Each layer's strength is extremely important, but if the foundation wiggles, or moves, or collapses, well, it all comes crashing down like a house of cards. And if that happens, you might feel disappointed or frustrated, and perhaps like giving up. But it's not really a big deal as long as you're only working with cards. But what if you're working with more than that? What if more important things are at stake? Things like your job or financial prospects? Or what about your relationships? Or security you could guarantee to your family if you had one? What about your life's goals or your dreams? What about your future? What about everything? The entirety of your life? Would you do it? Would you risk everything? Would you build your entire life on a foundation? There is only one reason to do this. Only if the foundation is so firm that nothing can shake it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, and neither would you. And neither would the disciples, including Thomas. St. John wrote the Thomas portion of the text we heard and read today. And that section, verses 24 through 29, which we sang about in our sermon hymn today, is remarkable. So we like to focus on that. But it really only adds further emphasis to what has already happened in verses 19 through 23. And so you can see what I'm talking about. I will back up in the text to verse 18. After Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus at the empty tomb, after Jesus had said her name, Mary, we are told in verse 18 that Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. And then our reading for today begins. And what happens in verses 19 through 23? They didn't believe her. And that night, the disciples were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus comes, and he stands among them. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and they tell Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he didn't believe it. And he said, unless I can see the foundation myself, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place his fingers into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Unless I can see the foundation myself, and I will not build my future upon it. Because, oh yes, they were risking a lot. You may recall that their enemies had killed the master. And what do you think they would do next to the disciples if they got the chance? Oh yes, there was a lot at stake. They had left their homes, their work, their families to follow this Jesus. And they had seen him die a gruesome and horrible death. And it all came crashing down like a house of cards. And if you're going to rebuild, it had better be a foundation that nothing can shake. a foundation so strong that it could replace their unbelief. For that is what those disciples were. Not doubters with questions. They were unbelievers. They were men who believe that Jesus of Nazareth had died and that he was going to stay dead. How firm a foundation did they need? Firm enough to overcome that fear and unbelief. Firm enough to touch. Firm enough to see. Firm enough to grasp. As firm as hands, nail prints, a side with a wound, feet with scars, a familiar voice, a mouth that chews, a stomach that digests broiled fish. In short, they wanted a resurrected, immortal human body. And that's what Jesus delivered to them on Easter evening, and then again 8 days later when he also appeared to Thomas. You see, the question for our flesh and blood, real life, sinning and dying world is this. Did Jesus of Nazareth do these signs and wonders or not? Did he or did he not show his glory at the wedding of Cana, changing water into wine, and then heal a royal official's son? Did he or did he not show himself as the true bread of heaven who has come down to give life to the world? Did he or did he not raise the four-day decomposing corpse of Lazarus to show that in God's plan, even death itself will be undone and it will not be the victor? Did he or did he not die to save us from our guilt and shame and sin? Did he or did he not die and rise to eternal life, thereby trampling down death by his own death, making the grave into a resting place, and guaranteeing that our mortal bodies will be raised from the dust and the ashes and crowned with immortality? And can we know that one day all sickness and all sin and all death and all fear and sorrow will be undone, and we can live with him forever? Did he do the signs and wonders or not? That's the foundation. Jesus did not object or scorn the disciples for that question. He gave them the foundation that they needed and that they wanted. Now, should the disciples have believed Mary? Of course they should have. She saw the foundation. And should Thomas have believed the other disciples? Of course he should have. They saw the foundation. Should we believe the words of Mary, of the disciples, and Thomas? Should we believe the words of St. John, who was there, who could have written so many more signs and wonders, but he wrote these, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you may have life in his name? Should we believe the words of St. Paul, who saw and heard the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and called him to be a witness, an eyewitness to the resurrection from the dead? Should we believe the eyewitness accounts of the 500 people that saw Jesus appear to them at one time after he had risen from the dead? After all, there's a lot at stake here, right? Because we're not playing cards here. There's futures and relationships and finances and dreams at stake here. Did he do these signs and wonders or not? Did he die and rise for you or not? He wanted you to know the answer. So he appeared to Mary and the disciples and Thomas and John and Paul and over 500 brothers at one time. He even invited Thomas to put his fingers into the places of our salvation, into the only wounds in all of creation that cause the Father to smile and to rejoice. And Thomas believed, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus does not want you to confuse seeing with certainty and not seeing with doubt. He doesn't want you to make the same mistake of unbelief that the disciples did. And as Thomas pulled his finger from the nail wound, he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That means you. You are more blessed than the disciples who had to see, or they would not believe. You are more blessed than they. For you have not seen, and yet you have believed. How firm is this foundation? Rock solid. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. This foundation is strong enough for your future, relationships and finances and dreams. It is strong enough today. It is strong enough for tomorrow and every day thereafter. It is strong enough for all of your days of sorrow and joy. It is strong enough to overcome your sin, illness, suffering, pain, disease, the devil, and even death itself. This is a word that you may believe, a foundation on which you may build. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. To him be glory forever. Amen.